This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, we'll hear about a UC professor's new book that focuses on the HBO police drama, The Wire. But first, Kentucky is seeing dynamic growth in its aerospace industry. Recent preliminary figures show the Commonwealth has moved into the number two spot in aerospace exports in the U.S. It trails only the state of Washington, which is the home of Boeing, and aerospace now tops the list of Kentucky's exports. And joining us to talk about Kentucky's aerospace sector and what it's going to take to keep it growing are Steve Barnett, President and CEO of Indy Honeycomb in Covington, Executive Director of the Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium, D. Stewart Ditto, and Mike Michelli, Vice President of Wheels and Brakes Manufacturing at Walton Safran Landing Systems. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Stuart, Mike, and Steve, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And Stuart, how did Kentucky get so high on the list? How's this happened?
Well, about 2015, they started to recognize some of the numbers that were coming out talking about how big aviation aerospace exports had gotten in Kentucky. From that, the House of Representatives in Kentucky decided to pass a House Joint Resolution 100, which mandated the study of aviation, aerospace, and defense in the state through the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, Cabinet for Economic Development, and the Kentucky Commission on Military Affairs. That study was supposed to figure out the exact thing that you're asking: why, how, where did this come from? Because most people in the state, you know, we've always thought of ourselves as horses and bourbon. And this was kind of showing that there was something else that was kind of starting to rise.
Yeah, I think you were number three in exports, aerospace exports at one point. So you're moving up that list. It's still hard. You know, Boeing is still out there in Washington State. So that's a toughie. But it's pretty impressive that Kentucky has made it this far, Steve.
It is. We make parts for Boeing, but we're not going to overtake them anytime soon.
Yeah. So does Kentucky's location give it any advantage?
Yeah, I'd say that's a big factor in it, is its location, our proximity to being within a day's drive of 2/3 of the United States, but also just the history that the state has had in manufacturing with automobiles and other products like that. We already had a manufacturing base, and that kind of led to a natural segue into aviation aerospace parts.
Mm-hmm. Mike, tell us some about Walton Safran. What you're making landing systems, landing components.
Well, so my site, we're responsible for manufacturing the wheels and brakes for the large passenger aircraft. So we serve the Airbus and the Boeing platforms. We started in 1999. It was just a carbon manufacturing facility, so making the disposable portion of the brake. It was a chemical process at the time. So when we talk about what drove us to come to Kentucky, one of the advantages that Kentucky brought that we took advantage of was the natural gas and electricity prices. To manufacture carbon, natural gas is a ingredient that we use. We actually don't use natural gas for burning. We use it to break it apart, and we want all the carbon atoms out of it. So for us, the natural gas pricing inside this area was a key component for us.
Steve, tell us about Indy Honeycomb.
Indy Honeycomb is an interesting little business. It's a niche market. I think Stuart was a pilot, but even pilots probably don't see the product that we make. It goes inside of aircraft engines. It provides a seal. So any aircraft that has a jet engine has honeycomb in it throughout it. Additionally, we do some exhaust features. So on the tail end of an engine, you have honeycomb inside of the exhaust, so it's decibel reduction, heat dissipation, and makes it quieter.
Mm-hmm. What makes Kentucky an ideal place for you to do this type of business?
Well, my background was at GE, and I live in Northern Kentucky, and I found some of the equipment. A guy who had invented a machine in Indianapolis. I moved to Indianapolis, is where the Indy came from. And I operated there a little bit, but it seemed so much better here in terms of, workforce availability, technical people, and that kind of thing. Plus, it was home, so I moved back in 98.
Stuart, how many people are employed by the aerospace industry in the state?
Currently, from the study that we're doing, shows about 15,000 individuals approximately are employed in Kentucky.
Yeah, and how many companies are we talking that are involved in the aerospace business?
When we started the study, initially, the Counterfeiting Economic Development had 60 companies. Through the study, we have found over 596 companies that are involved in aviation aerospace in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of components are we talking about? We've got what Mike and Steve's companies make. What are some of the other things that these companies are supplying?
I mean, there's a wide range from seats to various engine parts to sealants for aircraft. So there's a wide range of components that are made throughout the state. Even I flew the MV-22 Osprey in the Marine Corps, and in Lexington, Foam Design creates the foam bladder or the foam piece that encompasses the fuel bladder for the Osprey made in Lexington.
How many dollars are we talking about in terms of the exports each year?
And this last year numbers just came out for 2016, and it's $10.85 billion in exports.
Why do you think that it's such a surprise when you – I mean, it was me when I learned Kentucky was number two. Do you get that reaction from people? Really, we have this big, growing, thriving aerospace industry in the state?
I'll pipe in because I'm in the aerospace industry in Kentucky. And up until just recently hearing some of these figures, you kind of feel like we're the only one. And so to hear some of these figures, it's amazing – to hear where we actually stand and what the impact is that we're having on the state and as a country as a whole. And that's what's making some of these programs so exciting, to find out that we are part of that and we can continue to grow it.
And the biggest thing this seems to be is that there are all those different parts. Through the study, we've shown that Kentucky has pieces in education, pieces in private industry, both large and small businesses. And then the biggest thing is that none of these groups or areas are really communicating or talking to each other. They just didn't know each other existed. So it's kind of through
this. So they're surprised too. They're like, really? We have that big of an aerospace
sector? Exactly. Yeah. And so it's through this study that we're hoping to promote all the various pieces that we have in Kentucky, and then through this consortium, create that seamless pipeline so that from top end to bottom end, everyone is communicating, and we're making sure that we can provide that sustainable workforce for the future.
Now, Stuart, tell us some more about the consortium. How long have you been around?
The consortium just was established last year in October, so it's just a brand new organization that's kind of been created through the help of Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton and others to ensure that we can kind of foster the growth that we've seen in the aerospace industry into the future.
Again, 513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Stuart, you were talking about this earlier, about the types of strong existing business sectors that have led to this, that you have in Kentucky that fit well into this whole natural progression of aerospace moving up the ladder. And can you talk about that some more?
I mean, the biggest thing is talking about the manufacturing side of things. Kentucky has had been involved in manufacturing for many, many years, primarily through the automobile industry, and it's kind of through a lot of those manufacturing facilities that have popped up because of Toyota and others that they've started to move into parts into aviation. So you might have an aluminum plant that creates a lot of pieces and parts for automobiles who all of a sudden saw potential in areas that they could get into in aviation aerospace, so they started to manufacture pieces for those companies as well.
Yeah. So what's the potential? What types of spinoff businesses?
The potential is literally endless. I mean, the different things that are going on with the state is absolutely incredible. And I could go on and on, but one that I like to talk about a lot is Space Tango in Lexington, an aerospace company that is literally currently sending experiments into space on the International Space Station. They have their very own lab there, and it's just stuff like that that just shows how versatile and different that this industry can be.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I got an email from something called Kentucky Aerospace Industrial Consortium, which just kind of sounded interesting to me. And so I contacted them, and they said that they're going to have a Kentucky consortium of manufacturers. So I went down to Moorhead, and I was thoroughly impressed with the support. The governor was there. Lieutenant governor was there. That's where I met Stuart. And, you know, they're making their own satellites on site at Moorhead that are going to go up into space, and on Space Tango, into the International Space Station. There's a lot going on in Kentucky, and then I heard about Space Tango and some of the stuff they're doing. There was just a breadth of activity in Kentucky that's making stuff that's going to fly. So I thought that was very cool. We joined right away.
Yeah. So you had the same feeling that Mike did, and saying, "Hey, I'm not alone out here. There are a lot of other companies.
I thought there was
going to
be three of us
industry
down there."
Yeah. Mike, what about you? As far as the consortium, are you're part of that as well?
Well, our company is. Mm-hmm. I personally have not gotten into it too much, but our CEO Philippe Garnier, he's definitely been involved, been to multiple events, and we're supporting that along with a lot of other groups around the area to promoting not only aerospace, but in my particular interest, manufacturing in general.
So both your organizations, though, saw the value of having something like this and being involved in this type of collaboration.
For sure.
Absolutely. It makes sense to know what kind of business is because it, the aerospace, we have to be ISO, 9001. We have to be AS9100, but it's a unique.
And those are what industry standards of quality that
those
you have
are global
to reach?
Quality systems certifications. So they're international, but it's a level that, and our paperwork has to be, kept for 25 years. We have to have certifications for everything. And once you begin to operate at that level, it's nice to know other people because there is some synergy added to that and you can, learn different people and do different things for each other.
Yeah, not only do we want to kind of help create those partnerships between companies that are currently here, but to show off what type of supply chain we have organic to the state from both the companies represented here, but also throughout the rest of the state, so we can talk to other larger companies into coming to Kentucky and creating new business and bringing more jobs. So that is a big part of it. But then also the education side of it, making sure that we have a sustainable workforce by making sure we promote this industry, the types of salaries that can be received from working in this industry to our young people and their parents so that they are able to be properly educated to those types of choices to lean them towards aviation, aerospace, and more STEM-type education.
How tough is it to find qualified workers for the various companies in the industry? Does Kentucky have a good pool of talent?
I'll jump in on this one. It's interesting when you look at the quality of the universities that are around our area. We do see the level of engineering that we expect. And that we're looking for to feed our companies coming out of Louisville and Kentucky, and I'll say UC since we're in Ohio right now. However, as a manufacturing facility, that's good at that level. But if I want to get machinists to come into my facility with the high level of skills, maintenance technicians, there is a gap, generational gap, I guess I'll say, where not so long ago, we stopped promoting manufacturing as a key field that people should be interested in, and so we have this issue. So we joined a lot of other local companies like Mobilia, Bosch, and we took the Toyota model for an apprenticeship program, and we implemented it here. So if you're interested, kyfame.com. Is an opportunity to go in and see the kind of program that we offer graduating high school students now to go into an associate's level program, learn about manufacturing, get a technology degree, come work for us. And that is our way of starting to work with both at the state level and some of the local community colleges to try to build up our skill sets because, we're good in the middle, but on the lower side of the spectrum, we're really weak, and that's really where we're putting some efforts to try to improve that.
Yeah, Steve, any thoughts on the labor force?
I do have some. Indy Honeycomb is we make honeycomb. It's a very thin, like 1 or 2 or 3 thousandths thick metal that we weld together to very small cells. And it's you can't go in a catalog and buy a piece of equipment, or you can't learn that trade at a school. So people that we hire, we're going to trade or we're going to train to do what we need them to do. We have been working with Gateway and some of the it's good news what Mike was talking about, FAME and CAM, and we're interfacing. We have decided that we're going to try to hire good, solid people, strong character, and just train them to do what we need to do. But some of the programs that are developing now are very helpful. The whole workforce development is getting a lot of focus right now.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to talk about Kentucky's high-flying aerospace industry, Steve Barnett, who's president and CEO of Indy Honeycomb and Covington, executive director of the Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium, D. Stewart Ditto, and Mike Michelli, vice president, wheels and brakes manufacturing at Walton Safran Landing Systems. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Stewart, what's the state doing to capitalize on this growth that's being seen in the aerospace industry?
Well, the first step was obviously the aviation aerospace study, kind of getting that study together, getting it out there, and starting to do that research on who these companies are, what our supply chain looks like, and then how we can promote that growth and continue to help it to grow. So that's obviously as we kind of release the study towards the middle of this year, which will be publicly available on the Cabinet for Economic Development's website. But once that study comes out, there's going to be some recommendations that come from that on how we can continue to help it grow. I mean, big ones as far as from the government side are going to be certain tax reforms that help reduce the taxes on parts and manufacturing coming out of the state, especially specifically around aviation. But then also promoting education for our young students. Like as already been mentioned about universities in Kentucky that have great programs involved in aviation aerospace from UK, U of L, Morehead State, Murray State, Eastern Kentucky University. All these universities have very unique programs that are essential to aviation aerospace. However, when you get a lot of people from out of state going to these universities, a lot of times they head back out of state. So how we can get people to stay.
How do you retain that talent?
That talent is by starting with our young kids from elementary, middle school, high school. We need to get with those kids. We need to let them see the value of not just the engineering jobs, the pilot jobs, but also the manufacturing jobs. And there's a lot of opportunities at all different levels of this industry that are quality, good-paying jobs that give a good background to a good product, that produce a good product, and it produce good jobs. And so that's what is key, I think, for Kentucky to move forward is start educating our young kids and let them know the potential that's out there.
I think that the young kids have in mind, maybe their parents too, manufacturing is dark, damp, dangerous kind of environments, and they steer clear of that because everybody wants to go to college. The more and more that we can get into our plants, you know, they see that it's clean, it's bright, it's organized, it's a precision, exciting.
What you're describing is an old view of manufacturing.
Very much.
And the modern view is that a lot of it's automated nowadays.
A lot of it is, but a lot of it, somebody is running the automation. So it's a really challenging an interesting environment.
And I think when you get in there and you can see the products being made and how they are involved in the larger scheme of things that people use every day. I mean, at Safran, what was it, 55% of all brakes, that if you land somewhere in the world, that those brakes, there's a high probability that they were made by Safran.
Yep. Yeah. Our market share right now is about 55% of all large passengers, 100 passengers plus. Are made by our products. You land on a 737 Delta plane, you are on my wheel and brake.
And so it's cool for kids to be able to see like a product that has a practical application every day. If you're just sitting in a manufacturing facility, that old view of it that you're just either just pushing a button or watching something being made. But if you see that purpose behind it and what it does for not just like your region but the world, it kind of gives you more purpose behind it.
Well, so I do a lot of recruiting for the FAME organization around Boone County, Kenton County. And so when I'm going to the schools and I'm talking to the students – one of the niches that we're trying to reach is more of the young girls, get into the women, bring more women into the workforce for manufacturing. And what I'm telling him now is very much what Steve had referenced. Hey guys, girls, I'm not looking for brawn anymore for a manufacturing job. I'm looking for brains because I need somebody who can, to what you said, I need somebody who could fix the robot, who could write the programs for the machines, who can do all the technical side. Yes, we still have manual operations and work to do, but we need brains now, not brawn. So we don't need the big burly guys. We need people who could think through problems.
Let's talk with Tim in Grant County. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. I wonder what your thoughts are on the role and the impact that the Kentucky Science and Technology Corporation has had on this area, and particularly the tremendous effort that Chris Kimmel has put forth.
Well, with the Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium, Chris is actually on our board, and we've worked closely with the Kentucky Science Technology Corporation, with Rick Johnson there and with Chris. And the work that Chris has been doing in the state for a long, long time in aviation aerospace has been absolutely incredible. And it's one of the most interesting things I find for me to tell people about through Kentucky Space and Space Tango, and the fact that they have on the rocket that went out last week on SpaceX, products from Kentucky, experiments from Kentucky are going up there to be placed into the Space Tango Lab 1 that is installed permanently onto the International Space Station. And that's all done right here in Lexington.
Stuart, what are your thoughts on the future for growth in Kentucky's aerospace industry?
The future for growth is high. And my view on that is because from doing this study, we have shown that we have every piece needed to have a thriving industry in Kentucky. And the biggest thing that's – even though we have had significant growth, the biggest thing that takes it from going to the next level is getting all those companies to communicate together and string that pipeline from education through private industry in conjunction with the government to continue to take it to the next level.
Mike, what about your thoughts on the potential for growth in this?
Oh, as I look around and I see what we have around us right now, I'm impressed with what's going on. Recently, watching some of the – growth that's taken place, Amazon's announcement of bringing in the hub, CVG bringing in Southwest. So more and more you're seeing a stronger influence of what aerospace is doing inside Kentucky. And when we see those kinds of activities going on, it can only lead to a higher opportunity for us to tap into the marketplace from a variety of different ways.
Yeah. Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's just how cool is it to have an opportunity to go into a place. We only have 41, 42 employees, but, you know, every aircraft that has a jet engine, we might have parts in that. We don't know exactly which engines are which. But to recruit young people to be able to impact that, the space shuttle program's been killed. But we had part on a space shuttle. We're shipping parts into Ireland and Germany and France and Singapore and in China. It's an exciting.
So you see a lot of growth potential.
We see a lot of growth potential. Based on our ability to fund it and our ability to find the right people that can do the job.
One thing I want to add to just growth is just the fact that how, as technology has advanced so quickly and the size of technology has reduced, it allows a lot more opportunity for smaller companies to come in and make a significant impact on the industry. And that's really is what we've primarily seen in Kentucky. 596 companies, a lot of small businesses providing significant impact because of that increase in technology with a reduction of size.
Mike and Steve Stewart, you mentioned collaboration between the companies on various issues. What do the two of you think is needed to give the industry a boost and push it to the next level? What would you like to see?
I think that there's a sometimes a profound but certainly a positive cross-pollination of ideas when we can go to somebody else's shop, learn what they're doing with lean manufacturing or how they're training some of their guys on the floor. There's some real benefit from doing that. We're not probably going to find a lot of new people in Kentucky that are consuming, in other words, customers in Kentucky, but we do find new suppliers. There's just an increased knowledge of who's doing what. And sometimes we tell our employees that if it's the right thing, it's the right thing for you. It's the right thing for me. Sometimes our employees move on for different reasons, and so we can exchange employees as well. It's not an adversarial role.
Yeah, Mike, what do you think moves the industry to the next level?
Well, I think the work that Stewart's doing is exactly what we're looking for. We've Safran, we've spent a lot of time working with some local companies, but it's been much more on the sharing of knowledge and manufacturing techniques, which is fantastic. But for example, if you want me to start sourcing more of my supply chain into Kentucky, it would be helpful if I knew who in Kentucky I could go to buy an aerospace part, because as much as I respect some of the automotive companies around here, I can't buy from them.
You have to have the right approvals as well.
Right, yeah. Certifications.
So being able to have this sort of group out there where we have a network now where we could build our aerospace friends, that's fantastic for us, and then it's fantastic, I think, for the state.
Well, I think the KAIC, we see two different phases to this. Phase one is promotion internally, get people in the state to understand what the potential is and unify all the pieces that we have in the state. The next part is promotion externally, going on trade missions, going to other states, other countries, and showing them what Kentucky has to offer to hopefully create some of those connections for more business.
Right.
It starts internally, getting everyone connected, and then it moves externally, talking to other countries, other states.
Stuart, Mike, and Steve, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Real pleasure.
Thank you.
Steve Barnett, President and CEO of Indy Honeycomb in Covington, Executive Director of the Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium, D. Stuart Ditto, and Mike Michelli, Vice President, Wheels and Brakes Manufacturing at Walton Safran Landing Systems. The Covington Business Council is going to hold a luncheon on Thursday, March 23rd, called Thrusters On, a Rocketing Industry Group in Kentucky. You can find a link to more information at WVXU.org. Coming up, we'll talk to the author of a new book that analyzes the hit HBO show The Wire, and in Focus on Technology, a look at new equipment that's making it possible for Cincinnati firefighters to respond more quickly to emergencies. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.